Reacher said, "He was awake. He had a loaded firearm and shoes on. His bag was packed and his jacket was on the back of a chair. He struggled for less than 10 seconds and then he gave it up."
"You're very good."
"Not good enough to survive the general's head."
"I still want to hear that story."
"Then get me my answers. A fair exchange is no robbery."
"We're close. We can see the money coming out of Congress, but we can't see it arriving at the Department of the Army. It's dropping out of sight somewhere along the way. We're narrowing it down. We'll get there."
"When?"
"Give me the rest of the night. Call me at 8 o'clock in the morning."
"You're good, too."
"I try."
Reacher said, "There's a local rumor about a scandal. Word on the street is the place was never used because its purpose was too revolting."
"On the street?"
"In an old lady's parlor, anyway."
"Okay. But old ladies get revolted by all kinds of things."
"I guess."
"Anything else?"
"You can search with your Google thing, right?"
"That's what it's for."
"Check a Florida cop called Kapler for me. He left the state 2 years ago. I want to know why."
"Why?"
"I like to know things. He moved from Florida to South Dakota. Who does that?"
"First name?"
"I don't know."
"That's helpful."
"How many Florida cops called Kapler can there be?"
"Probably more than 10 and less than 100.
"With employment problems 2 years ago?
"Anything else?"
Reacher asked.
"What are you wearing?" "What is this? A dirty phone call now?"
Reacher smiled. "No. I'm just trying to picture the scene. For old time's sake. I know the desk. Same office?"
"I assume so. Upstairs, third on the left."
"That's the one." Reacher saw it in his mind. Stone stairs, a metal handrail, a narrow corridor floored with linoleum, lines of doors left and right with fluted glass windows in them, offices behind each one, each office equipped according to some complex DOD protocol. His had had the metal desk, 2 phones with a total of 3 lines, a vinyl chair on casters, file cabinets, and 2 visitor chairs with springy bent tube legs, plus a glass light shade shaped like a bowl and hung from the ceiling on 3 metal chains, plus an out-of-date map of the United States on the wall, made after Hawaii and Alaska had joined the Union, but before the interstate highway system had been completed. Made, in fact, around the same time that the strange installation near Bolton, South Dakota, was being put in. The voice said,
"I'm wearing my ACUs with a T-shirt. I've got the jacket on because it's cold tonight."
Reacher said, "You're in Virginia. You don't know what cold is."
"Quit whining. You're still in double figures up there. Negative, but hey. Minus 11 degrees. But the radar shows colder air moving in from the west."
"How could it get colder?"
"You're going to get what Wyoming just had, that's how."
"You're talking to meteorologists?"
"No, I'm looking at the Weather Channel."
"What did Wyoming just have?"
"They were 30 below zero."
"Terrific."
"You can take it. You're a big guy. Probably a Norseman way back. By the look of you."
"What? Google Earth can see through roof tiles now?"
"No. There's a photo of you in your file."
"What about you?"
"Yes, there's a photo of me in my file, too."
"Not what I meant, smartass. I don't have your file."
"I'm a one-eyed, 50-year-old hunchback."
"I thought so, judging by your voice."
"Asshole.
I'm thinking maybe 5'6 or 5'7, but thin. Your voice is all in your throat."
"You saying I'm flat-chested?"
34A, at best. Damn. Blonde hair, probably short, blue eyes, from Northern California. She asked.
Age?
Reacher had been 32 years old the first time he sat behind that battered desk, which was both old and young for a command of that importance. Young, because he had been something of a star, but old, too, and that he had gotten there a little later than a star should, because he wasn't an organization man and hadn't been entirely trusted. He said, "You're 30 or 31, because he knew that when it came to a woman's age, it was always better to err on the side of caution. She said,
"Flattery will get you everywhere."
Then she said,
"Got to go. Call me later."
The household got right back into its settled routine. Peterson left, and the two day-watch women went up to bed. Janet Salter showed Reacher to the front upstairs room with the window over the porch roof. In principle, the most vulnerable, but he wasn't worried. Sheer rage would overcome any theoretical tactical disadvantage. He hated to be woken in the night. An intruder came through that window, he would go straight back out, like a spear. 5 to 2 in the morning. 26 hours to go. Chapter 22. Reacher had planned on sleeping until 8, but he was woken at 6:30 by Peterson. The guy came into the bedroom, and some primal instinct must have made him pause and kick the bed frame and then step smartly back. He must have figured that was the safest thing to do. He must have figured if he leaned over and shook Reacher gently by the shoulder, he could get his arm broken. And he might have been right. Reacher said, "What?" Peterson said,
"First light is less than an hour away.
And?
You need to get going."
"Where?"
"The biker camp. Remember?
You offered?" Janet Salter was already in her kitchen. Reacher found her there. She was dressed for the day. She had coffee going. The old percolator was slurping and rattling. He said, "I have to go out." She nodded.
"Mr. Peterson told me. Will you be okay?"
"I hope so."
"I don't see how. There are 100 people out there, and all you have is a 6-shooter.
"We need information."
"Even so.
I've got the 4th Amendment. That's all the protection I need. If I get hurt or don't come back, the cops get probable cause for a search. The bikers don't want that. They'll treat me with kid gloves."
"That's hard to imagine."